You cannot be of service to another unless you understand what it is the other needs, service. Now, one may say, now how does that relate to the topic? It is the topic. Watch. If I want to relate to God, God is a person, Radha and Krishna, they are people, Gaurinathai, they are people. We sometimes think of them as a category. God, man, categories. And by making these different categories, we become different. But Radha and Krishna are above all things persons. They are personalities. Things they like better than other things. Desires, experiences, speech patterns, voice vibrations, particular forms. Likes and dislikes in dress, in color, in tones, in capacities. Number one, first and foremost, they are persons with personalities. Don't take that away from them by calling them God. Give them the right to be what they are. Now, how did what we just say we relate? Usually you want to relate with God. There's the living entity over here, there's God way over there, and you want to connect in love, because that's the essence of all spirituality. The essence of all spirituality is the connection between the being and the supreme. You may define the being this way or that way, you may define the supreme this way or that way, still the essence is the connection. Even if you call it merging, it's a connection with that energy. But I don't think in here we're talking about that. But I just thought I'd mention the point. So, you want to connect to God. Very good. Now, can you connect to yourself? Maybe, maybe not. Can you connect to the person next to you? Maybe, maybe not. Can you connect to the person who's most near to you? Maybe, maybe not. And you want to connect to God? Most likely not. Obviously. Example, you want to solve nuclear physics equations. You don't even know simple algebra. Now, usually when we used to, in ISKCON days, talk about these things, we thought you had to know an enormous amount. And you had to memorize incredible amounts of information and pastimes. And you had to perform tons and millions of austerities. So people do that. They don't really get to that connection. Sometimes I am in the presence of such persons. I don't feel they're connected to themselves. They have a very difficult time connecting to me. And even they start judging other people and condemning other people. Somehow it's not in tune. I do not think that method works. My opinion. Take it or leave it. But I do know that being able to connect to yourself, being able to connect to others, is absolutely required in order to connect with the Supreme. First of all, because it's obvious, and second of all, because it's common sense. Exactly for the same reason that if you want to connect to something superior, you have to know the steps leading there. Now, it is true that austerity is required to get to the higher realms. But which austerity? That's the question. Usually, the kinds of austerities that we're familiar with, according to yogis and others like that, do not develop compassion, kindness, and other things. As Prahlad Maharaj said, it just makes you hard in the heart. And it kind of creates a selfishness, where you're mainly concerned about yourself. But by doing this enormous austerity of just tuning yourself with others, understanding them out of love, compassion, kindness, appreciating their good qualities, you accomplish all that austerity. This is not the end in itself. It's not even a means to an end. It's just part of the reality of what it means to be in harmony. It's not a means that you use and then drop off. It's not a tool you use to accomplish some greater creation. It is part of harmonious spirituality. Do you understand the implications of that? They're very deep. And this austerity of trying to understand others means you develop the depth of your own character. It means you're not afraid. That means you're strong. Why don't we want to know about others? We're pretty afraid of other people. I mean, what if they say something bad about us? What if they find out the truth about us? What will they do? Well, naturally, they'll do the same thing that we will do. They'll condemn us through judgment, and they'll talk bad about us all over the place. And they'll make politics against us, and they'll take away everything we have. We're convinced of this. Therefore, we spend all our time defending ourselves against others. So the other person talks at us, and we have our wall up, and we just let it all bounce to the floor, waiting for him to end. And we talk to them, and they have their wall, it all bounces off their wall down the end, waiting for us to get to the period. If I have fear in my heart, I cannot relate in love. So, the question is, to get to the point of simply being able to harmoniously tune in love with others, you have to be an incredibly fearless spiritual person. So that means that there's something about this understanding others and tuning to others harmoniously, which is extremely spiritual. Now let me digress a bit to a problem that we all face or have faced. We go before the deities. And what do? Jai Gaurantai, Jai Radha Krishna. And then we pray. Maybe we repeat some prayer we heard. Then it's our turn to say what we really think. I'm so fallen. I'm so miserable. I'm so upset. Help me. Help me. Please. What are we doing? We're trying to be understood and get help. We're doing the exact fault we do with every single person we meet. We push our energy out and say, it may be done very humbly. That's what we're doing. We're making the same exact mistake. Why? Because that's the way we're training ourselves to be. And just as it does not work when you're relating to other people, it does not work when you're standing in front of the deity. You are not harmonizing yourself with the energy of the Supreme. That's all. Now, why is it so important to harmonize to others and practice it? Very simple. Because it's the exact same quality, the exact same methodology that you connect to the Supreme. How? Okay, we'll talk a technique. You come before the deity and realize the deity's a person. And that is really hard for a lot of people to do. Somewhere, they theoretically know it. But their eyeballs say, brass, wood. And their mind says, nope, the Supreme. They go, okay. But what's the experience, the exact experience? Generally, if you get anything at all, it's something majestic. Some generalized majesty. Some generalized power. Rarely some moments of generalized love, which, oh, that's so nice. And then the mind says, wait a minute, I just experienced ecstasy. Wow. And it's all gone. So, usually the experience is not really the one you want to have. So see it another way. From the point of view of empathetic connection, of understanding another person. This person is standing before you. Now they happen to be God, but they're still a person. So without fear, dare relate with them as people. Without fear, and just receive their energy. Understand what it is they are sending to you. Obviously, it's not something you're going to listen to. Not at least with these ears. So you're going to receive the energy. We have experience of this in everyday life. Let's say you're next to somebody and you care about them. And they're feeling very angry. You feel it without them saying a word. Or if they're feeling very sad, you feel it without them saying a word. Your energies are connected on levels you may not be aware of. So, the same exact way, you feel the energies from the deity. But there are certain prerequisite qualifications to do that. You have to practice it with other persons. You have to practice being fearless. You have to practice coming to what to understand what it means to understand another person. To feel it. To experience it. Face to face. And when you have that experience, to taste it. And then when you stand before the deity, you're in front of another person. And just as with each and every person you relate to, you get a different experience. When you stand before the deities, you get a different experience. Now, sometimes you stand before people to understand them, and they are rather simple to understand. Some people are much more deep and complex. So you start to understand there are differences. When you're standing before the deity, the depth is unlimited. Unlimited depth. Unlimited energy. As much as you can receive, as much they are sending. But because you've become expert at tuning harmonically to others, it's no longer just some power or just some majesty or some light. You get specific communication that is perfectly tuned to you. A completely different experience than formerly. In St. Petersburg, we were doing these meditations. Unfortunately, in Moscow, we don't have deities to do this with. I never did with a picture, I don't know. And I don't know if it would work, but we can see. We have to install it then. We just, at the end of the program, simply sat and day by day did another advanced stage of accepting the energies from the deities. Nothing special. No work, no visualization. No guidance needed. Nothing special to accomplish. Just accept the energy from the deity. People were telling me they had fantastic experiences. The typical response was, all my questions were answered. On a very deep level, I feel peace. I felt contact. And some people crying. I mean, it was really wild. And it was really a nothing meditation, because you just sat there and accepted the deity energy. But these were people who were practicing tuning harmonically. So the first day we just accepted the deity. That's understanding them. That was so important. Nobody wants to understand the deity. They all want to be understood by the deity. Now that's absurd, because the deity is omniscient and understands you all the time. You don't need to go before the deity and say, I'm like this, I'm like this, I'm like this. Hello! You don't know that. So, what's the thing to do? Understand the deity. And all of a sudden, oh, that was so nice. So every day of the 4 days, we accepted the deity. Second day, we took responsibility for our lives. We accepted responsibility because when you accept the deity, you had better be responsible for what you're receiving. The next day, people started getting inspired, like, with their own lives. Everything in their lives started having some clarity, some purpose, some meaning. And then accepting that which the deity inspires within us. And the next day was to send out our feelings towards the deity without demands, without expectations. In other words, we created a personal relationship of understanding and being understood with personal responsibility, appreciation, care, and concern between the living entity and God. That is spirituality. There's God, there's the living entity, there's the connection between the two, and there's love that comes from that understanding. Where does being of service come into this? When I'm properly in harmony within myself, when I actually understand myself, which is actually self-realization, the deity is just helping me settle right into what I am, helping me settle down right into what I am, right into perfect harmony. And I've taken responsibility for what I am, accepted it. When I am to be of service to another, it'll be in harmony with the deity, in harmony with myself, but above all, I'll be able to relate with others without fear and understand them and perfectly be able to be of service to them. I'll be able to exactly understand how to be of service to others. Now, some people think that's not service to God. They say that somehow or another is not spiritual. Now, just think about that logically. Do you really think that God wants you to take a disharmonious person, leave them in a disharmonious state, and tell them they've got to connect with God, but not actually create that harmony within them? So you bring thousands and thousands of people into this situation. So what is the use of having thousands and thousands of disharmonious people stuck together in an artificial relationship with God? I don't understand. So for some period of time they do it, and then they say this doesn't work, and they go away. Or else, like in all religious institutions, they develop the idea that, well, maybe I can't be spiritual, but at least I can get some prosperity by working my way up the hierarchy. I can gain some control over others, I can gain some power, position, prestige, I can get some money. If nothing else, I can get a meal every day. I don't think that's successful. Numbers don't make it successful. I don't think that's what God wants. Now, when you actually connect with the Supreme, you realize that the Supreme loves it when you assist others to really come in harmony within themselves. Because when they are in harmony within themselves, there is a very good chance they can come in harmony with others and come in harmony with the Supreme, which is the whole point of the essence of spirituality. A harmonious person connecting with the absolutely powerful harmony of all existence, the Supreme. It's all individual. Every relationship between me, you, between you and them, or any of us and the Supreme is an individual thing. It's a personal thing. It's a loving exchange. So this energetic harmony is an essential factor in understanding this connection between the Supreme and the individuals, and being able to manifest that as a perfect, in a perfectly service way for others. And that very much satisfies the deities. Did I answer the topic? Let me do it in a slightly different way. If I'm not in harmony with my own body, yet I'm living in my body, how am I going to harmonize with anything? Now, I might have the mentality that it's not important to harmonize with my own body. I will simply harmonize with my spiritual energy, with other persons' spiritual energy. I will skip all the steps and just harmonize on a spiritual platform with others spiritually. In theory, it sounds great. But let me tell you what happens in practice. I used to sit in my room, and all day long, people used to come in, like a parade. And what were the subjects? We don't have enough money. How do we use the money? How do we manage this? How can we do things for all these bodies? That was all the management. How do I deal with my mind? I can't get up in the morning. I'm having fights with this person. Husband and wife can't stand each other. He wants sex out of me. I don't want to do that. I eat too much. You would be amazed. A whole parade. If I had a sign on my door said, open for business, as many hours there were in a day, there'd be that many people, 80,000 times more. Now, if I'm just this spiritualist who spiritually connects with others, and I don't have any contact with my own body, I am transcendental. So they come in and they say, I eat too much, what can I do? I say, eat less. I say, chant more Hare Krishna. Get up in the morning and go to the class. It will take effect. Eventually, it will all work out. And above all, if you can't do that, then just keep on eating, and after a while, you will lose the desire. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Here's some money. 6 months later. I'm so fat, my liver hurts. Oh my goodness! You should go to the doctor! Etc. You understand. You know, it doesn't work. That's not compassion. That's not understanding. That's not relationship. It's avoiding. It's an excuse. If I connect to my own body, I know what it means, eating business. I know how food quality affects me. I know that khichdi is not for everybody, especially when it's so cooked, it's just merged, and all the nutrients are on vacation. I know that this wonderful white bread is constipating me totally. I think about others. Well, how do you feel? How is the food affecting you? Because I know me, I can understand you. The same with sleeping. The idea that more than 6 hours is maya, is maya. Everybody has to sleep a certain amount, otherwise they become a little nutty. There are principles which when you understand in yourself, when you have contact with yourself, you can apply to others. You have to know how you feel when you're in relationship with others. What's good for you? What's not good for you? Then you can help arrange that for others. All of this is required because unless you know yourself, you cannot know others. If you cannot know others, if you cannot empathize with others, then you cannot possibly understand how to connect. Can you connect to some ET? No. Because there's just, you're just too different. Yep, you can only connect when there's that similarity. Now, the connection is on many levels. Physical level is very important. To deny the physical aspect of yourself is to write yourself a death contract. The mental aspect of a living entity is essential. If you're running around with your mind tormenting you all the time, how can you connect with anything? If your emotions are in turmoil, how do you feel anything for others? And if your heart is an icebox, how do you expect to feel love? Love is maya. How are you then going to have any concern for others? I see the example of what happened when love was maya. All the kids became completely destroyed. And I see that nobody loves each other. And therefore nobody loves God. So this connection within oneself is not optional. It's not for those who are less advanced. It is part and parcel of the harmonious whole that is spirituality. It is part and parcel of self-realization. It is part and parcel of God-realization. Because you have to be divine to connect on the level that the divine absolute wishes you to connect on. Yeah?
is the real meaning of life is to get a real relationship between people.
Well, you touched upon a phrase which has to be talked about, the real meaning of life. I would just take the word real and edit it out and just stick with the meaning of life. What is the meaning of life? That is the existential question of the ages. Again, the meaning of life, that's very hard to answer. Let's talk about life. And then let's try to figure out meaning. When you have a big problem, you've got to chop it down to its smallest part. And then add things to it. Life. How many times did you lay in bed and just look at the ceiling and go, life? Do you know what's the most amazing thing about when I come to Russia? I enter immediately into a serious and severe existential crisis. Life. What is it? I just flew 24 hours to get here. I get jet lagged 8 hours. I'm in St. Petersburg, I can't drink the water, it's full of amoebas. I can't eat the food. I'm coming from a place where the average daily temperature is 30 degrees. I arrive, it's minus 10, and snowing. I live in like a village, practically. Here I am in this monster city. Usually nobody bothers me about anything. Real peaceful village life. All of a sudden, there's people in and out of the room. There's phone ringing nonstop. There's schedules to be made. There's got to do this, got to do this, got to do this, got to do that. And I lay in the bed and I say, what is the meaning of life? First of all, why am I doing this to myself? And then I think, well, what if I didn't do that to myself? And then I answer, well, it would be pretty boring. Because sometimes I have some pretty far-out experiences. Like talking to you. Believe it or not, I like that. It's a really far-out experience for me. There are the deities in St. Petersburg. Absolutely incredible experience every time. There's sometimes seeing people come together instead of fighting. The first time I came to Russia, 1978, yes. I'm in a place with 8 devotees. I haven't seen any of them since, but anyway, there are 8 of them there. And immediately I find out there are 2 or 3 camps, and they're fighting like mad with each other. And I think, well, this is a temporary manifestation for some reason I don't understand. So I start to get experience as the years go by that this fighting thing is not a temporary manifestation. It's the essence. It's in everybody's DNA. You people eat conflict for breakfast. You take a bowl of conflict.
It is in Chechnya.
Nah, no, everywhere. And I don't relate to that. Especially when every party of the conflict pulls me this way, and another party pulls me that way, and they all quote me. And I'm laying in bed looking at the ceiling going, what am I doing here? What is this existence? But rarely. Sometimes they don't fight. Sometimes the fighting parties come together and go, brother, sister. And I go, ah. Of course it never lasts, but it's a good experience. So what I am understanding in my life is that all that really counts is the experience. Right now is life. Right now is my experience. All that really exists is right now. My experience. Now, of course, there's a continuity between experiences. For example, I'm moving my hand this way, so each now is a series of many little thises. Obviously, it's a continuity. Can you imagine if every instant everything was different? Don't even bother. So obviously, right now and the continuity are connected. But the right now is more important because the right now determines the next part of the continuity. Watch. Now, my choice. Definition, what is life? Only answer I've ever been able to come up with is life is experience. What is its meaning? Two, when you have that experience, to make the right choice. And therefore, when you're having relationships with others, love them.